Father, we honor you this evening for the privilege that we have to come to your house this midweek service. We thank you so much for your blessings upon us on Sunday. And since that time, your grace has been with every one of us. Thank you for bringing us to your presence this evening. We are committing ourselves to you, that you will bless us as we fellowship around your word, for encouragement as this journey of life continues, and that you will inspire us in the time of prayer to pray with the faith of God in our hearts, Lord, believing that you are faithful. Thank you, eternal Father. We ask that you hasten the steps of others on the way. Perhaps rain has hindered many. Lord, we pray you make a way for your people. At the end of the service this evening, while we look unto you, that nothing will stand as an hindrance between us and you, that Lord, you will be gracious. There is no service that is too little, that is too small, that is whether the congregation is much or little. You are promising your word that where two or three are gathered in your name, so you'll be there. Lord Jesus, you can do all that we are expecting you to do. We pray for that faith, Lord, to bring your hands down. Lord, for touch upon everyone that is thirsting and hungry. Lord, for your reality. Let it be, eternal Father. At the end of the service, Lord, we have assurance in our heart that we have been in your presence, that you have spoken to us, and that we have spoken to you, the living God. Thank you. To God, glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you. Welcome ourselves to our Wednesday prayer meeting as we open the Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter, I mean, not First Peter. We'll read from verse 1. Verse 9. All right. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby had given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides these, giving all diligence, heart to your faith, virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his whole sins. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. God bless you. We thank the Lord for his grace upon us. Again, to be in his house, it's always a great privilege to come to God's presence without coming to the house of God, or wherever we have the opportunity to sit at the feet of the Lord. Because it's the Papa Hugo who feeds his ziglets from his mouth the word of life. Fresh kill. Praise be to God. So this evening, by God's grace, I, looking at events, I just want us to encourage ourselves, admonish ourselves rather, from one of the points that Bro Peter mentioned here, and that is knowledge. That is in verse 5. And besides this, giving not diligence, after your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Praise be to God. Knowledge is a great thing. We have, by the knowledge given to us by the message, that there are two types of wisdom. The worldly wisdom and the Holy Ghost wisdom, which is called godly wisdom. With the worldly wisdom, people reason God's words. Worldly wisdom has a way of knowing it. It has its characteristics that only the believers can identify. And the reason we can identify the characteristics of worldly knowledge is because we have godly knowledge. If you don't have godly knowledge, you will not be able to identify that this wisdom that is speaking is worldly knowledge. Because the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. It's like there are some bunnies around here, paper or something. It's only a Christian that can identify worldly knowledge, because worldly knowledge boasts. It boasts and it's unstable. Worldly knowledge is unstable. Worldly knowledge reasons against God's word. Does not accept what God says. And that's worldly knowledge. Worldly knowledge, you know, tries all effort to ridicule God's word, to discredit God. And the fountain of worldly knowledge is Satan. He is the source of worldly knowledge. Why? Holy Ghost knowledge or godly knowledge comes from God. Praise be to God. Paragraph 166 of the stature of a perfect man. Sorry, 160, not 66. 160. And then the prophet says, thirdly, you know, he has talked about faith, and has also talked about virtue. Add that to your faith virtue, add that to your virtue knowledge. Basic things that the prophets have spoke about concerning these virtues, the stature of a perfect man, as we have it displayed there. But we're just trying to talk about knowledge. The prophet made us to know that this that we see, they build upon, you know, one another as a way to show growth. The prophet says, you cannot have virtue when you don't have faith. You cannot have knowledge if you don't have virtue. Because you are to add knowledge to virtue. And you are to add virtue to faith. And you are to add temperance to knowledge. So if you don't have temperance, if you don't have Holy Ghost knowledge, you cannot have Holy Ghost temperance. You cannot have the one that is the up in the up in the, I mean that is above, without you having the one below it. You understand what I'm trying to say? Just like you cannot start counting two until you start from one. You have to say one before you go to two. You can't jump to two. Because it's a growth. You start from faith. And then to faith you have virtue. If you lack virtue, Holy Ghost virtue, you don't have knowledge. You cannot claim to have Holy Ghost knowledge. Because it's the growth. Amen. And so, it tells us here, because faith is the foundation that the rest is built on. And so it means now that knowledge looks to faith. So if you don't have faith, which the prophet says is the revelation of the will of God, revelation of the word of God, revelation of what God wants done. Faith is the revelation of his will, what God wants done. And so if we don't have that, then we can't have godly knowledge, because godly knowledge looks to faith, which is revelation. So godly knowledge is fed by faith. And then thirdly, you had knowledge. Knowledge. Now that don't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God. But knowledge to judge. To judge what? To judge right from wrong. How do you judge it then if you've got Christian knowledge with your virtue and faith? You judge whether the word is right or wrong. And if you can lay aside all your creeds and all your unbelief, everything that you can claim, you claim you have done, then you have knowledge to believe that God cannot lie. This knowledge is to let you know that whatever God says, circumstances do not matter. We'll look at two, maybe we just mentioned something in the past because we have not started. Look at the time. So, knowledge, not worldly knowledge. You judge whether the word is right or wrong. So, it is the knowledge of God that makes us to know that in a situation, the word of God concerning situations is right. God can never be wrong. God cannot lie. Besides the fact that the Bible says that with God there is no variableness, neither any shadow of turning. And the Bible says also that God swore by two infallible things that God cannot lie, and the person of God does not lie. By virtue of who he is, he cannot lie. So God cannot lie. So it's an impossibility for God to lie. So lying means he denies his word. When he gives a promise, whatever circumstance, whatever condition we face that word of God, the word of God remains true. And there is no circumstance that is too great or greater than God that will make God to say that, well, this promise that I've given, I'm sorry, I didn't know that situation would be like this. I didn't know situation would be like this, so I'm sorry, I'm not able to do it. You know, maybe some other time when things are okay. That does not sound like God, does it? It sounds like a human being. Because
The God that we are dealing with is infinite. That infinity means that before any event that you see happen on the earth, whether negative or positive, before he made anything, when he was all alone, he knew they were going to happen. And he permitted the negative to happen for his own glory. We human beings may not understand why it happens. Because he does things that are pleasing unto him. He does not do things to please anybody. The only people that he will please are the people that please him. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. He that honors me, I will honor. So, no condition is greater. So that is why it is very difficult for God. Once we settle that in our mind, after we have placed our request before him, and we know that, see, coming to place our request before God, his word says he will do this. If God's word says he will do it and we believe it and we want to come for that hey, and if his word says that, okay, for you to get that, this is what you must do, we cannot neglect that and expect it to be. You know why? Because it is still God that says this. So that is why many people try to take God to be a liar. Because the condition that God set for him to be fulfilled, we are neglecting it. We are overlooking it. And God cannot overlook his word. So if this A is there and you are expecting B to happen, then you have to carry A out for B to happen. So if we leave A with undone and we are expecting B to be undone, then we are not fair with God. We are not fair to him. Because he is not a magician. He works by the law of his word. So when we understand that God works by the law of his word, then it's just very simple. Then it will not be difficult for anybody to believe that what God says, he can bring it to pass. Let every man's word be a lie. Okay. Then you have knowledge to believe that God cannot lie. Let every man's word be a lie, but mine be true. God says that because he knows human beings don't see tomorrow. I can give a promise, circumstance can come up, and I may look like a liar. But circumstance, nobody wants to be ridiculed. Nobody wants to give a promise that I cannot, except people that are not sincere, that will give a promise just to push people away. There are people like that. They will just give you a promise to push you away. I say, well, don't worry, I'll do it. And then once they get you dismissed, hypocrisy. That's human being. That's not God. Whosoever, this promise of God is for whosoever. So whosoever meets that condition for that word to be fulfilled will be a witness. Brosan preached this sermon here, three kinds of a court trial. In the convention too, we are reminded of it. Isn't it? The three witnesses of Satan. You see, you have to understand who the devil is. The devil is a being that tries to discredit everything of God. That is his job. He doesn't have any other thing to do. In fact, why God spare him is for him to do that. Because it is the devil trying, making effort to discredit God. That's when God shines them all. That's when God shines them all. Because it's the tool in God's hand to bring glory to God. The problem is also to know that you will not appreciate light if there is no darkness. You won't appreciate good health if you have never been sick. You won't appreciate a good woman if you have not seen an ordinary one, a bad woman. So you won't appreciate anything good if you have not faced a a bad person. If somebody, if a human being has ever dealt with you in the negative way, and you come across good people, you will say, wow, so there are good people like this. What are you doing? You are appreciating good things. So the devil is just, it is his job. So we shouldn't bother ourselves about the devil. He's fulfilling his own role. That what he's created for is to discredit God. But you, as a son and a daughter of God, you are made to disbelieve the devil, to believe God. Because God, you know, can only express himself as to believe him. There are two powers. There are two forces, there are two spirits. Satan's spirit and God's spirit. Satan's power, God's power. And what's the other one that I mentioned? These forces, Satan's forces, God's forces. And these forces cannot operate without a vessel. Can't operate without a vessel. God wants to carry out redemption. He has to look for flesh. Are you with me? Yeah. He has to get a vessel. He has to create a body that he can enter. He's a spirit. Without a body, he couldn't perfect the work of redemption. So he needs a vessel. And having done with the vessel of Christ, the remaining is left for us. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high, and then ye shall be witnesses unto me. So for us to be witnesses unto God, to show God that he is the Almighty God, that he doesn't change, we are the one that will manifest that to the world. We are the one that will take our stand with God, that we believe him. And that is not possible until we have that godly knowledge. People who back out and deny God is because they lack that. Praise be to God. Let's go back there. Let every man's word be a lie, mine be true. See, now you are getting knowledge. That supreme knowledge that surpasses every other knowledge. You don't have to have 4 degrees in some college or something like that to have it. It is not by worldly education. Neither is it by literacy too. You don't get godly knowledge by being an illiterate. You don't say, I will be an illiterate so that I can get godly knowledge. No. Neither do you say, I want to acquire all the certificates in the world. There are some people who have 4 PhDs. Human beings. Those ones are just craving for knowledge. They have emptiness in their heart. They are looking for knowledge, but they miss it. It is only godly knowledge that can fill that vacuum. You know. So that supreme knowledge, you don't have to have 4 degrees in college, in some college, or something like that to have it, because all these virtues are given to you by who? By God. To place you upon the foundation of your faith, that you might come to the full stature of a real living man of God. Yes, sir. Add knowledge, because knowledge of his word, you must believe it this way, such as you should believe today that, and accept it, that the days of miracles are not past. Knowledge that what God said, God is able to perform. So, we come to Father Abraham as one of our characters. Abraham was given a promise by God at the age of 75, and go to a city where the land I will show you, and he left. It was supernaturally revealed to him, or else reasoning, worldly knowledge will weaken him. He must have faced criticism. People must have talked to him that, look, somebody spoke to you that you should leave your father's house. Hope you are not running mental to leave your father's and go and be wondering where you are going. You don't even know it.
You don't even know where you are going. And that voice told you, leave your father's house and pack everything and head to a place that I will show you. Not that. It did not give you the roadmap. At every junction, it will be telling you where to turn. You know that's how it was with Abraham. He did, I will tell, go to a place that I will show you. So in other words, the roadmap was with God and he hid it from Abraham. At every point in time, he was leading Abraham. Go this way, go this way, until Abraham got to that place. And he was still looking for that city. That's why the prophet says the call of Abraham was supernatural. It's not natural. That knocked out every reasoning. That call God gave to Abraham knocked out every reasoning. Everything that would make Abraham to think that, what's wrong with me? Look, I'm leaving properties of my father. Who will inherit this place? I'm the firstborn. But right, belongs to me. What's wrong with me? Who is talking to me? To leave my father's house and become a wanderer. You know that was the same call that was given to the rich young ruler? But his worldly knowledge killed him. He couldn't surrender. Because he began to think. The Bible says that he was very sad when Jesus told him what to do. Go and say all that you had. The prophet said, the Lord knew his problem. He hoarded this money. Go and say all that you have. And he lacked understanding too, because he was full of worldly knowledge. So worldly knowledge will not make you to get the message God is passing across to you. That worldly knowledge will keep intercepting the instructions of Jehovah. The Lord told him, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you shall do what? Have treasure in heaven, then come, follow me. He didn't get that part where you shall have treasure in heaven. Worldly knowledge did not let him assimilate that. Say, Lord, that you are and give to the poor and come and follow me. What was he looking for? He wanted eternal life. He had fashioned out the way he wanted it. He wanted eternal life right on the spot. But God was not going to give it on that grant. That's why I said initially, if God says A, before B can happen, if A is not carried out, B cannot happen. What the rich young ruler wanted, he wanted eternal life. Which Jesus Christ looked at him and he loved him. Because he asked him questions and he said, from my youth, have I been keeping this? And the Bible says, Jesus Christ looked at him. He wasn't lying. Which means naturally we can keep the law. If the rich young ruler, he wasn't committing adultery, he wasn't committing fornication. He was not stealing. He was not covetous. He was obedient to his parents. Jesus Christ listed a few of those things. He said, all these have I kept from my youth up to this moment. Up to now. And the Bible said, Jesus Christ looked at him and he loved him. Which means he wasn't lying. A natural man, but still he needed eternal life. So, keeping of the law does not give us eternal life. But that does not mean that if you have been a moral girl, you now say that, well, since this does not give eternal life, I better be doing the opposite. You are going to fall into the hand of the devil. So, the rich young ruler missed the instructions of Jehovah. He just wanted eternal life on his own condition. And he came. How do I inherit eternal life? He has a question, isn't it? And can you give us the scripture? Let me reflect a little something there. And the certain ruler asked him, saying, oh, I think that of Mark will be better. I think it will be Mark 10 or so. That of Mark gives us 13. Yeah.
10.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, from verse 17.
He's 10.
And when he,
yes.
Yeah, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?
What shall I do?
No, you don't inherit it. The prophet told us. What do I do?
And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is not good but one that is God. Let's move on.
Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not be a false witness. Defraud honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, from my youth. You get it? There was no time he backed away from those things. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, say whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.
He asked the question, how can I inherit eternal life? He has fashioned a way out on his own. Because while he will receive eternal life is the way Jesus Christ told him. His question was answered. But worldly knowledge robbed him.
He didn't take that word. He looked at it, then he reasoned his setting. He began to reason. My society that I belong to. So now sell my horses and donkeys and asses that I use for mobility to now be walking barefooted, following this man. Ah, be sweating under the sun.
When anytime I finish my work and I feel tired, I relax in my office and sleep. I cannot do all those things except this man is ready to sleep. That's when I will sleep. This one is ready to eat. That's when I will eat. Then I don't have a choice of my own. I don't have a mind of my own. I will not be following him. It's whatever he said that I will not be doing. Those are the reasoning. And you look at it, I have riches. So much. I've labored. To go and sell it and give to people that didn't know how I labored to get the money. Like, he valued what he had. And he gave the value above what he actually came to ask. And he felt the price was too much for him to pay.
Well, I don't need for this one. Maybe I can't do it. And the Bible said, and he was sad at that sin and went away grieved, for he had great possession.
We'll look at it. King Lord Tabo will continue money. All that I have. All. Wow. To go and sell all that I have. It's just like Dangote. Look at all that Dangote has. To now ask him to go and sell all he has and be following Jesus.
Which means he won't hold anything any longer. Are you getting that? He won't hold any. All that you have, sell it and give to the poor. Then come and be following me. But after you have done that, you are doing money transfer. He did not see it. Worldly knowledge does not feed on faith. Are you getting me now? If it's a godly knowledge, it will lean on faith. And that was why Father Abraham, when after God has fulfilled his promise of Isaac, bringing Isaac forth, and Isaac has grown up, and God turned to Abraham again and told him, and said, take that child. That thou love. Go and sacrifice him.
Knowledge fed back on faith. Abraham went back to what God told him. That through Isaac all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.
Are you getting that?
He looked at that. God cannot be a liar. God has spoken. And I know somehow there will be a way for God to bring this world back to life. To bring that promise to pass.
That was the consolation that Abraham had.
Abraham did not do that thing blindly. He had an understanding. which was fed to him by faith.
Remember, the Bible initially told us that Abraham believed God, and what? It was counted unto him for righteousness. That believing was by revelation. The first step he took, he couldn't have been able to take that step to leave his father's house and everything, and then he was just going like somebody that had no brain. Of course, he didn't have the worldly brain. Because when revelation strike, you can also ask yourself, what about when Jesus Christ met Peter and told him they were by the father's net, mending it, sons of Zebedee, all of them, Jesus Christ with just another man, I saw them and said, tap them, you, follow me. And immediately there, they will just abandon the net and be following him. You think it was just natural? It was not natural. That's how God calls his people. If you are given such call, that's why Jesus Christ said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. So, godly knowledge helped Abraham to stay faithful to instructions of Jehovah. When he seemed that the instructions of Jehovah appeared to be contradictory, isn't it? I will give you this child. Then he shall, through him, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And at the point in the house, he carried the child, go and slaughter him. That sounds contradictory, isn't it? But Abraham knew who he was dealing with. He was so certain that this was God. That's why Abraham will tell us that I am familiar with that voice. He said, I know that's the angel of the Lord. He said, because I know it. So Abraham also knew the God that he was dealing with. It's not just somebody hearing random voices. Like the Pentecostals of today, random voices, they will just hear voices and just open their mouth and say rubbish, things that will never come to pass. The brother told his congregation that God told him that he's going to have that his wife is going to have a baby. He said it in January. By December, nothing happened. He told them that year. He told them around January. By December, nothing happened. If a woman is going to, and if God spoke to a man and he said his wife is going to have a baby that year, it can't be the next January 1. Are you with me? It can't be another year, January 1st. It cannot be. Because he said that year. And he spoke in January, which means 9 months time. That is okay. Pregnancy didn't come in January and February. Maybe it's in March. We will give you the allowance of it in December. December 31st. It don't come to pass. Now the devil spoke to him. And I still believe that it was the devil that spoke to him. Because up to today, there is nothing like pregnancy. And yet, he didn't have the grace to back down. To say, oh God, have mercy on me. That lying spirit has spoken through me. He didn't have that grace. That's worldly knowledge. He doesn't have godly knowledge to know that God is not a liar. That when God speaks, it will surely come to pass. God's word remains faithful. God remains faithful to his word. His words remain unchanged. Nothing can change his word. He cannot change his word himself. Yes, he can't change his word. Because his reputation is at stake. If a king, while I close, if a king, Herod, who agreed to cut the head of John the Baptist because he wanted to honor his own word. Now you are not talking about Jehovah, the righteous, the Almighty God. We speak, we give a promise. We say this, we say that, we say this, and the circumstance will come. A king did not even look at circumstance to back out. He swallowed. He decided to honor his word He didn't care the outcome of it, despite that he knew that it was wrong. Despite that he knew that this guy was influenced to ask for the head of John the Baptist. Despite that he knew that John the Baptist was a prophet. In spite of the fact that he knew that the head of John the Baptist would be useless for this guy. She's not going to do anything with it. He could have advised the guy and said, come here. I told you to have of my kingdom. She owe money. Are you going to hit the head of John the Baptist? It is true, I give you the promise. But I'm telling you, after my kingdom, it's not for you to ask for the head of a man that is not going to be useful for you. Why don't you want to ride your sister? As for riches and gold and diamond, ask. To the half of my kingdom, he can still repeat it there. But they exclude John the Baptist. But he wanted to, the Bible said, because of the noblemen that were with him. He honored them at the expense of this life of John the Baptist. And then somebody will not tell me that God will lie. Somebody will not tell me that God will back out of his promises. God will make it. That will be worldly knowledge. Abraham took God faithful because he knew God cannot lie. God had told me that this boy, through him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He carried the boy. And God, who spoke to him, came on the scene and confirmed his words.
May God be our help. Let's bow our heads. Godly knowledge. Talk to the Lord. Are you like Father Abraham? We just finished revival services. Convention. They were more like revival period. Constantly feeding on God's word. Thursday evening, one service. Friday, two services. Saturday, two services. Sunday, two services. Making seven. And then morning devotion. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Four. A total of 11 services. What is your stand? Are you still in the position you are not supposed to be, because God has proven himself to be faithful? If this godly knowledge is lacking, you better ask God to give you this godly knowledge. Asking for godly knowledge, you are asking for spiritual growth. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are asking, by asking for godly knowledge, you are asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit by giving you the faith of the Son of God, which is the foundation, and then he will have to add virtue to you and then give you knowledge. All these things don't take years, depending on your disposition. The more we feed on God's word, and the more we feed on and we are inspired, the more godly knowledge we have. Are there be any circumstance where we have heard God unfaithful, where we have backed out, feeling that because of time factor, I don't think it is possible any longer. Abraham waited for 75 years and he didn't back out. And God still remembers his promise. It was even God that came to tell him, by this time next year, I'm going to bring my promise to pass. Abraham didn't know when God would bring it to pass. When it was time, as designed by the Almighty God, he visited Abraham and put Abraham in the condition that will make his promise to come to pass. Abraham wasn't in that shape. But God, who made the promise, because he's faithful, he visited Father Abraham. And after that, he changed their body, that his word might take effect. Because he's the one that spoke. As he spoke in the beginning, and he created the heaven and the earth. All the heavenly hosts, by his word, he created them. He's the father of spirits. He has the control of the entire universe. He dictates what happens, good or bad. And he takes pleasure. He takes pleasure. He takes glory. He takes honor. He receives majesty and praises. Because he rules and reigns in the affairs of the creation. He's our God. We don't have any other one. Satan is our enemy. God is our friend. He's our father. We believe him. No matter what the devil does, we are on the Lord's side.
Remember, it takes revelation
to have godly knowledge, Holy Ghost knowledge, supreme knowledge. Godly knowledge. It can only be given to us by the Holy Ghost. Because it is Holy Ghost virtue. The prophet told us there are some people that are naturally given all these things, the process, but they are worldly ones. So we are not talking about those ones. We are talking about godly virtues, godly knowledge. I will ask our pastors to come and pray for us. If you need help, you can make it known when pastor comes to pray for us.
I bless the Heavenly Father. We thank you, we give this evening for another opportunity to come for the midweek meeting. We are grateful unto you because you have promised where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that you will be in the midst of them. Father, we thank you for the reading of the scripture. Thank you for a portion of the message of the hour that you have laid in the heart of your servant to share with us. The prophet told us that the natural man does not have those virtues because they are Holy Ghost given. Therefore, we are praying and asking, Master, that as many as are looking unto you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, may you answer prayers, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we know without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we cannot have godly knowledge. Lord, it is your spirit that gives this knowledge and the rest of the virtues. As many as I feel already, we pray for refilling, Lord. Just help us, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Master. Blessed be thy name, Lord. We all look unto you, knowing that without you, we can do nothing. May you be all in all unto us. As we look unto you, no person your first by. Bless your servant that you have used as we lead the rest of the service in your hands. Thank you, Father. We know that you are not a man that should lie, nor the son of man that should repent. Whatever you have spoken, it comes to manifestation. The prophet said the entire world, Lord, things that we see now came not by hammer and chisel and nails, is by the manifestation of your spoken word. Thank you, our Master. Blessed be thy name, Lord. If we have that in your nature, Lord, we will look down an iota of your word. Help us, Heavenly Father. Thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Bless you. Thank you for coming for Wednesday prayer meeting. And we thank the Lord, we'll go back home better than we came here. We believe God has heard your prayers. And you know, we believe also that He will give you testimonies over your requests. Yes. Would you let us sing this to declare our stand? Who is on the Lord's side? 495. So, at the last answer, I will hand over. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is up there? And the pianist and the drummer. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is Sadaki? Who will be Sabbath? All our lives to win. Who will lay the war aside? Who will face the foe? Who for Him we go? By the call of mercy, by the grace divine. Not for weight of glory, not for crown and power, but with the honey, praise the word of sound. But for love that payment, that's for whom he died. He whom Jesus named must be on his hand. By the love constraining, by thy grace divine. Oh, we are the Lord's Savior, we are done. Thou hast bought us, now we go the journey. For with thy own life, Lord, for thy diadem, with thy blessing filling all who come to thee. Thou hast made us worthy, thou hast made us free. By thy grand redemption, by thy grace divine, oh, we are of the Lord's Savior, we are done. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great privilege to be in your house for this midweek service. I want to appreciate you for the blessings that we have received in the same. Thank you for adding to our faith tonight, for lifting us up and taking us to higher heights. We are grateful to you. We also appreciate the privilege to speak to you, Lord. We thank you because you have made a promise in your word that when we ask, we shall receive, and when we seek, we shall find, and when we knock, it shall be opened unto us. And so if we ask anything and we believe that what we have asked, we have received it, so then we shall have it. As we go in the strength of this, knowing that you are not a liar, and you can also not lie, may your word continue to strengthen our faith, and Lord, give us positive expectation in our hearts to watch out for their full manifestation. Thank you, dear Lord. Bless your servant to have used and replenish him for the virtue that has left him, and lift up the honor of his ministry. We remember Brother Joseph tonight that will be with him in Ogbomo Show and stand for him. See him through all his journeys and help him in all his responsibilities. As we expect your servant from Ghana on Friday, we ask to bring him safely and make him a blessing unto us. Thank you, dear Father. Go home with us tonight. Protect us from the highway and byway. Give us a wonderful night rest, Lord. And the rest of the week may be wonderful and peaceful unto us. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. All right. We have two visitors according to this note. One is Ojoba Midele. Ojoba Midele, can you? God bless you.
Then we have Victor Joseph. God bless you. I think we know him. He has passed this place. That's the second one. He has been here many times before. From Ijebode. His father is Brother Ike. God bless you. Yeah, we thank the Lord for the privilege to be in service this evening again and the blessings he has given to us. On Friday, by the grace of God, Reverend Isaac Doku from Ghana will be with us. So we are having a service here on Friday, which he will be taking the normal time, 5 o'clock, and also on Sunday we'll have our normal services. Maybe another minister that might be in Ibadan that day might be taking our Sunday school. And we trust the Lord for a great time. And well, we see how it goes. I think we made an announcement. I don't know whether it is a pocket or the weather that did not make us to shake body. But we cannot reverse. The minister is coming anyhow. And he will be hosted. God bless you. Shall we rise? Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Oh, Thy is a race that I must. There are victories, there are victories to receive. God be with you to a meet on Friday. Give me power. Jesus, keep me true. Lord Jesus.